Chapter 3. Joel watched Tony yelling and flailing his arms as he ran down the steep hill to the river. He shook his head. That patch of shiny green leaves halfway down that Tony was romping through was probably poison ivy. He glanced over at his bike. Tony hadn't even bothered to hide it in the weeds along the side of the road. Joel propped Tony's old bike against the railing and wheeled his own off the bridge, laying it gently in the weeds beneath the structure. He considered, for a moment, leaving Tony's bike right where Tony had left his, out in the open where anybody could steal it. He didn't, though. If Tony's bike got stolen, he might never get another. Swimming in the vermilion of all the crazy ideas. Maybe even crazier than climbing the bluffs. Joel shook his head as he laid Tony's bike next to his own. Then he started down the hill. "You see what I mean?" Joel said when he arrived next to Tony on the riverbank. "It's really dirty. And the worst of the stuff, chemicals and sewage, you can't even see." Tony ignored him, stripping off his jeans and his underwear. He had already dropped his shirt and kicked his sneakers off before Joel arrived. "It's wet, isn't it?" he asked. "Like I said," Joel replied, "so's your toilet." Tony stepped into the river at the edge, and then the dirty water lapping over his feet made them disappear entirely. He turned back to Joel and grinned. "Not enough water in my toilet. I tried it once to see." "You would," Joel replied. He wanted to sound grumpy, but he could feel the answering smile breaking through. "You coming in?" Tony called back when the water swirled around his knees. "I'm waiting for you to drown," Joel answered. I just want to see it so I can tell your folks." "Keep them worrying," Tony tossed back. "Keep your mom from waiting supper?" Joel replied. They both laughed then, and when the laughter had faded, Tony said, "Well, are you coming in? Or are you just going to stand there and gawk?" "Who's gawking?" Joel pushed one sneaker off with the toe of the other. "You're nothing to look at." The water was just right, cool enough to raise goose flesh at first, but then not cold enough to be numbing. The flow past Joel's legs felt like a refreshing massage. He hadn't realized, though, that the current was so strong. It seemed as though the water were barely moving when he looked down from the bridge. "Watch out for the current," he called to Tony, standing several feet upriver from him. "Ah!" Tony cried, grasping himself by the throat with both hands. "The current! It's got me! It's going to suck me under! It's going to swallow me up!" And he toppled over backward, howling. His head disappeared beneath the foaming water he churned up. Joel stood where he was, waiting. When Tony stood up, he was a prehistoric monster emerging from a swamp. Joel could tell that was what he was by the way he stood, water streaming down his face, arms hanging low, head hunched forward. "Come on," Joel said. "If we're going to swim, let's go back to the pool. It'll be better there." Tony straightened up. "Why? This is fun." "But there's a sliding board at the pool, and there's other kids, too." "Who needs a sliding board? Or other kids?" Tony replied. "Besides, I'm swimming now." And he plunged into the water, face first this time, but thrashing just as much as before. "Doesn't look like he even knows how," Joel muttered to himself. But then he wiped away the idea. It seemed disloyal. Tony went to the pool with him now and then, and he did the same things everyone else did. They spent most of their time going down the slide into shallow water or splashing one another. Joel eased himself deeper into the water and dog paddled a few strokes. He didn't want to put his face down to swim properly. He'd take the artificial blue of a pool and the sting of the chlorine any day. The river smelled of decaying fish. Maybe we ought to come down here every day, work out. We could be on the swim team next year in junior high, Tony was saying. Joel stopped trying to swim and stood up. We'd get caught for sure if we started coming down here every day. Who's to see us? Tony asked. I don't know, but somebody would. Somebody driving over the bridge, probably. Joel looked up toward the highway bridge, but there were no cars in sight. Tony shook his head. Sometimes, Bates, you just sound like your old man. Joel could feel the heat flooding his face. What's wrong with that? Be careful in that tree, son, Tony mimicked. You might get hurt. Watch Bobby when he crosses the street. Those drivers never pay any. Joel had been moving closer to Tony as he spoke, and now he gave him a hard shove. Tony was expecting it, though, and he didn't even step backward. He countered with a push of his own. Joel swung his arms to keep his balance, and he felt the bubble of anger that had been with him all morning expand inside his chest. What right did Tony have to make fun of his father? At least my dad doesn't go around hitting kids with a belt, he said, stepping closer to Tony and clenching his fist. Tony went white around the mouth, and Joel was instantly sorry that he had picked on Tony's father. He didn't know that Mr. Zabrinsky had ever really hit Tony with a belt anyway. He had only seen him take off after Tony once, snaking his belt out through the loops with one hand and holding his pants up with the other. Actually, Joel had thought it was kind of funny at the time, in a scary sort of way. Tony took a wide swing at the side of Joel's head. Joel ducked it easily. Tony was bigger and heavier than he was, but he was slower, too. For a moment, they stood glowering at one another, breathing hard, their fists raised. Then Tony turned and began to slog through the water toward the riverbank. Where are you going? Joel asked. To Starved Rock, came the reply. I'm going to climb the bluffs by myself. Joel's heart sank. He didn't especially want to bike back to town alone, and he certainly didn't want Tony climbing the bluffs by himself. Oh, come on, Tony, he pleaded. We can stay here. This is fun. Like swimming in your toilet? Tony replied without looking back. Joel answered with the first thing that popped into his head. Toilets aren't so bad. And to show Tony that he meant it, he plunged into the water, immersing his face and taking several strokes so that when he stood up, he was in front of Tony again. Tony grunted. He still looked pretty mad. You're just saying that because you're scared to climb the bluffs. Again, the irritation flared. Who's scared? Joel demanded. You're the one who's scared. Why, I bet you wouldn't even. He hesitated, looking around for something to challenge Tony with, something he wouldn't mind doing himself. Swim to that sandbar out there. He indicated a thin, dark island of sand rising out of the river about 100 feet from where they stood. Tony narrowed his eyes, gazed in the direction Joel pointed. Why should I be scared of that? He asked scornfully. I'll bet the river doesn't get deeper than this the whole way. The water divided at Tony's waist in a sharp V. I'll bet it gets deeper than this lots of places, Joel said. River bottoms change. That's one of the reasons they're so dangerous. I wouldn't be scared even if I was 10 foot deep. Joel stepped closer. You willing to swim it then? Tony's chin shot up. Sure, unless you're too chicken to swim it too. We'll see who's chicken, Joel said.